Will you stand now for the reading of the Gospel? The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. And this is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his way straight,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. You and I know, of course, that NPR stands for National Public Radio. I think, however, that in my world, NPR stands for National Preachers Radio, because a number of the preachers and pastors that I know listen to it religiously. And over the years, as an NPR listener, I've come to be able to identify many of the personalities and the voices. There are particular cadences. I mean, there's nothing like hearing a report about Pope Francis, for instance, from none other than Silvia Poggioli from Rome. And it just has that ring of authenticity, or Scott Simon in the morning, or Susan Stamberg, who generally gives her mother's recipe at holiday time. You just kind of know NPR. So this interview, the interview between the man sent from God, whose name is John, and the priests and the Levites who are sent from Jerusalem, sounds in my ears a lot like NPR's Nina Totenberg reporting from the Supreme Court as the justices grill an underprepared attorney on a contested point of law. I mean, just imagine, if you will, if this were Nina Totenberg reporting on the scene, it might sound something like this. This is Nina Totenberg at the River Jordan, where a man named John has been testifying to the light of God that has entered the world. Now, many people assume that by this light, John means the Messiah or the Savior of Israel has come. This claim has sparked both outrage and intrigue at the highest levels of political and religious power. Deputized agents of the ruling council were sent to investigate. "Who are you?" asked Yitzhak the Levite. "Are you the Messiah?" "Answer, I am not the Messiah." "Fishel the priest." "What then? Are you Elijah?" "Answer, I am not." "Daniel the Levite." "Are you the priest?" "Prophet rather." "Answer, no." Pincus the Levite. And after the priest asked, "Then who are you? What do you have to say about yourself?" John answered, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" This is Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Bethany. John enjoyed the kind of vocational clarity that many of us can only dream about. He was very clear, on the one hand about who he was not, and on the other about who he was. He was not the Messiah, God's anointed end times deliverer of Israel, the one man in the white hat who comes riding in on the white stallion as if to save the day. He was not Elijah, the great prophet of ancient Israel, whose return to the earth would signal the imminent appearance of the Messiah. He was not even the prophet like Moses, the great emancipator who would once again lead God's people to freedom. No, John was none of those things. He was a voice. It's kind of a strange self-description, don't you think? A voice. And can you imagine putting that on a name tag at a cocktail party? Hello, my name is Voice. Just, ah. Well, maybe I react negatively to that because I have never liked my own voice. Classmates taunted, "You talk like a girl." When I answered the phone as a child and later as a young teen, people always thought they had reached my mother. If I didn't sound like my mother, then I sounded sick. "Do you have a sore throat?" people would ask. "You don't sound like you're feeling well." And if I wasn't my mother and if I wasn't sick, then I sounded like I was from England. People still ask me about my British accent. They are both disappointed and confused to learn that I am from San Antonio. "Oh, I didn't know there was a San Antonio in Great Britain," insisted one adamant interlocutor. She was convinced I had to be from England. Well, I like to say that I have a face for radio and a voice for the newspapers. So it's highly ironic that God called me to preach, to speak, to be a voice. I wonder what John's voice was like. In the movies, of course, he would have a proper British accent. All the good Bible rules seem to go to Brits these days. I heard an interview with a movie script writer the other day, and according to her, the old rule in all media is write Jewish, cast British. Or maybe John would sound like Morgan Freeman or James Earl Jones, who often sound a lot like God, or at least God as we imagine God ought to sound. We like to think that President Abraham Lincoln had a rich, sonorous bass, sounding like Jason Robards or Gregory Peck, who often portrayed him in film. But historians say that Lincoln actually had a fairly high, thin, reedy voice that sometimes veered into shrill. Nevertheless, one presidential scholar says that Lincoln let that voice that we question and his appearance and the words themselves provide the drama. We learned last week that John's appearance provided a lot of drama. He wore a garment made of camel's skin and had a leather belt around his waist. Fashion-wise, he was only about 9 centuries behind the times. He looked for all the world like one of those prophets of old. That was pretty dramatic because, as we've already noted, it meant that people wondered who he was. Who are you? Where do you come from? Why are you here? And the mystery only deepened because the words that he spoke were the words of Isaiah, one of those prophets of old who said, "Make straight the way of the Lord." Make straight the way of the Lord is a call for justice. It is a cry for change. It is a call to set things right in advance of the Lord's coming. Those hairpin turns in life's highway, a job loss, a medical emergency, a bounce check that throw the poor and the oppressed and the marginalized into ditches alongside life's highways, those need to be straightened out, John said. "So let's get this straight," said the priests and the Levites who had been sent from headquarters. You are not the Messiah." "No." "You are not Elijah." "No." You are not the prophet like Moses. No, I'm not. Well, then, they said, we know that you are not a priest or a Levite like us. No, John says that's true. Why then, the question came, are you baptizing people? What gives you the right? You are not one of these appointed, anointed, end-time figures who might baptize. No, John said, that's right. I'm just baptizing people in water. But that's nothing compared with what's about to come. For among you, someone's standing somewhere near here, in this very crowd, there's someone here whom you do not know. Someone who is only just about to start his ministry. But I'm not worthy to be his slave. I'm unworthy to untie the thong of his sandal. There are attorneys in the room, very capable ones at that, and my guess is they would find John a very unsatisfying witness, because as far as testimony goes, that's not particularly helpful. It is allusive, it is suggestive, but I don't know that it is particularly illuminating. It isn't even especially articulate. But how do you witness to something like light? What does light look like? What sound does light make? How do you describe light if you're the only person who sees it? How do you talk about light to a people that for centuries had sat in darkness? Well, you're left to do the best you can, to speak in generalities. Someone, somewhere near here, sometime soon is going to come. And everything is going to be different as a consequence. For then the people that sat in darkness will have seen a great light. And we will see one another and God in a vastly different way. The job of a witness, which John is to tell the truth with respect to persons or events or conversations to which he or she has been party. If you witness a traffic accident, for instance, your job is to tell the court what happened, who was involved, how events unfolded. But before you do, you are sworn to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. That's serious stuff. The court is asking you to guarantee that what you say is absolutely the truth, and that you are willing to stake your very life on speaking the truth. Which, of course, John did. Soon we will hear the ominous news that John was summarily executed. Mostly on the basis of a dare, because he testified to the light, and because his own light shone in dark places, revealing the shadowy things of a man's soul. John, as Jesus himself had said, was a bright and shining lamp, snuffed out all too soon because the intensity of his own light was too much for one man to handle. John had seen the light that was coming into the world, and so he was able to reflect that light back to the world. Only the light proved to be too bright. The question then that was put to John is now put to you and to me. Who are you? Are you a voice? What do you sound like? Are you shouting in the wilderness? Are you whispering in the dark? Are you singing on the hillsides? Are you praying from your heart? What are you doing to make straight the way of the Lord? Have you forgiven the long-born hurt? Have you bound up the lingering wound? Are you speaking up for those who suffer? Are you giving to those in need? Will your voice rattle the cages of injustice? Will your voice shatter glass ceilings? Are you a voice? Or are you a witness? Is it your mission to tell the truth about what you have seen and heard, even if your own testimony is a little vague and perhaps inarticulate? Are you willing to tell the story if you don't know quite the right words? Are you willing to pray when called on, even if you don't pray like the preacher? Are you willing to talk about Jesus, who sometime and somewhere made a difference in your life? Are you willing to talk about Jesus not in a pushy, in-your-face kind of way, but rather in the same honest, even casual way you'd share other things that are important to you? And if you're shy or get a little tongue-tied, can you at least point the way to Jesus? Can you recognize the true light when it appears and call attention to it so that others may recognize it and believe? Can you trim your lamp? Can you let your light shine? Are you a witness? Are you a servant? Unworthy even to untie the thong of the sandal of the one whose feet bring good news of God's love and grace for all? Do you deliver Meals on Wheels? Do you serve them in a soup kitchen? Do you mentor an at-risk child or teach adults English as a second language? Do you construct habitats for humanity? Do you labor for neighbors? Do you visit those who are sick or are in prison? What do you do in the name of the Lord Jesus? Are you a servant? Are you a witness? Are you a voice? Who are you?